in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with a birthday salute to four-time Olympic champion Evelyn Ashford of the United States. Evelyn was born April 15, 1957, in the southern U.S. state of Louisiana, and she grew up in California. And it was in Southern California where Ashford first achieved Olympic glory. She won the gold medal in the women's 100-meter dash at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. Ashford set a new Olympic record of 10.97 seconds, becoming the first woman to run under 11 seconds at an Olympic Games. Her three other Olympic gold medals came in the women's 4x100-meter team relay event. In a 1991 interview, Evelyn Ashford said, and I quote, "When I'm running fast, I feel like I'm weightless. It's like I'm flying, like I'm not even touching the ground." Meanwhile, American sports journalist Christine Brennan was on the ground at the Los Angeles Olympics 36 years ago. In fact, Brennan has covered every Olympic Games, summer and winter, since those 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. This evening, we bring you part two of Dan Friedel's interview with Christine Brennan. Here's Dan.
We're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by Christine Brennan, sports columnist for USA Today. And Christine, we just talked with Katie Zafiris, a triathlete for the United States, and in 2019, she finished up one of the best seasons of her career, and she was full steam ahead to try to get an Olympic medal in 2020. We talked with her the other day, and she said, you know, she was not sure if she had it in her to try for the Olympics 4 years from now when she would be getting closer to her mid-30s. She was talking to her husband about starting a family. And now that the Olympics aren't going to happen this year, she says that she does have a renewed focus. But for somebody like that, you never know what might happen. I mean, she's been doing the sport of triathlon on an international level for 7 years, and she could have an injury, something could change in her life, some other athletes could get faster. You never know what might happen. So this is a tough situation for a lot of these athletes to be in, especially the ones who are a little bit more established in their careers.
Oh, it is, yeah. And I mean, the good news, if there is good news, obviously we're in the midst of a global pandemic. It is horrible. And of course, our thoughts immediately and always are with those families of people who have lost loved ones or are struggling or can't even, you know, be in the hospital with them as they're dealing with this horrible thing. So, I mean, that is first and foremost. And every athlete I talked to said the same thing. I mean, everything, you know, it's clearly talking sports is a secondary thing. It's hardly anywhere near as important, of course, as these life and death issues with the coronavirus. Having said that, the good news is it's only 1 year. The bad news is it is 1 year, and so many of these athletes are self-quarantined and can't swim right now. Or Katie Ledecky told me that she would, when they could still try to swim, that she was in actually people's backyard pools. Katie Ledecky, the great Katie Ledecky,
right.
Literally swimming in backyard pools. So that's why they had to push the Olympics back, because even though it was going to be July, it was the here and now. It was March and April, and these athletes couldn't train and were worried that they were actually hurting and not following orders and not following rules and hurting maybe their family or potentially risking exposure by being out trying to train for the Olympics until the date was pushed back to 2021. And by the way, Dan, there's no guarantee that will be the date. I mean, if we can't get a handle on this and we don't have a vaccine, then again, the Olympics will be the last thing we're worried about, and college sports and pro sports should be the last thing if, in fact, we're really still in the throes of this. Hopefully we won't be, but at least it's only a year. And the athletes I was talking about from 80 to 84, those athletes that were affected so greatly and had their careers and their hopes and dreams dashed by the Olympic boycott of 80, well, they had to wait 4 years. And this, of course, is only one. As I say, only one, you bring up a great point. There's so many athletes out there, some we won't even really know who they ever were, who would have made it in 2020, who won't make it in 2021, whether they're just a tick too old, just lose a split second in a track and field race or a track race field event, whether a swimming, whatever it might be, a gymnast who might have been on her game completely in 2020 and just isn't quite there. Or the flip side of this, of course, is the competition doesn't stop. All these young people, the positive, frankly, is if they might not have been ready in 2020, maybe they're 17 years old, but by another year, they may be peaking at the right moment and then nipping some older veteran from a spot that they would have had in 2020. Again, heartbreaking all the way around on their front, on that, you know, for them. But these issues are the ramifications here. I'm sure we haven't even thought of all the storylines, but I do strongly believe that at least it's just the 1 year, as tough as that's going to be for some athletes compared to, of course, what the boycott was, which was an incredibly different scenario.
Right, absolutely. The 2021 Summer Games, which will still have the 2020 logo, I imagine, will certainly be a cause for some international celebration if it does come off as planned about 15 months from now. What do you think the atmosphere? We're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by Christine Brennan, sports columnist for USA Today. We were talking about the 1980 Olympic boycott by the United States. But what do you think the atmosphere will be like if we do get to next summer and the world has turned a corner and people are safe from the coronavirus pandemic? What do you think the atmosphere will be like at the Games in Tokyo if it really is full steam ahead and everybody is at their peak?
Oh, Dan, you know, I think it will be a real celebration, and I can almost get chills just thinking about it as you and I are talking. You know what an Olympic opening ceremony is like, and it is extraordinary. You know, the Olympics is the largest regularly scheduled gathering of the world, and certainly because it's mostly young people, it's jubilant and it makes you smile because it is the youth of the world, as they say. You know, we'll call upon the youth of the world to gather 4 years hence, you know, in whatever city. And so there will be that. And I think the joy that they will feel, the fact that we're so detached right now, we can't touch each other. We're not supposed to be within 6 feet of each other. Obviously, social distancing, staying at home, these are things that are so important to me and my family and friends and I'm sure to you as well and all of our lives as we go through this. Well, if in fact it's okay, if in fact there's a vaccine, if we've turned the corner, if we're past this, as tragic as all the deaths and all the sadness will be in our minds, oh, the joy of being able to have everyone together on that one big field at the National Stadium in Tokyo, which is rebuilt, a new stadium, but it will be very reminiscent of the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo, which was well before my time, but a coming out party for Japan at that point, just 19 years after the end of World War II. And so, yes, it will be so symbolic, I think, and hopefully wonderful, and just a great statement that we're back, that the world is back. And sports can give us that. We look at sports as, I know you do a lot of baseball work with the Washington Nationals, the Baltimore Orioles. You've known sports, has been a part of sports your whole life. I have too. And sports can really be that escape, and that gives us that feeling of joy and happiness, and allows us to leave the other part of our world aside for a few minutes or a few hours and escape into a sporting event. And the Olympics can be that ultimate escape. And because it is the whole world, and because the pandemic, of course, is impacting the entire world, not just a state or a city or a country, but every corner of the world. Every corner of the world will be gathered at those Olympics if they do happen in July of 2021 and into August of 2021. And yes, it will be a fantastic thing if, in fact, it can come off and be the celebration that we hope it is.
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly a big celebration. Christine Brennan from USA Today, thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, Dan, my pleasure. Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
My name is Chesha Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross-country champion, a 3-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Thank you, Joshua Cheptegei, for that special COVID-19 message. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Nigeria Football Federation says it will renew the contract of Gernot Rohr, the German manager of its national men's team, the Super Eagles. The 66-year-old Rohr has been in charge of the Super Eagles since August 2016, after previous coaching stints with Gabon, Niger, and Burkina Faso. For reaction to his contract renewal, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, where he reached African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
Well, look, there's been a lot of rumbling around the new contract for Gernot Rohr, because somehow the Nigerian Football Federation feels there's a need for them to put a little bit more control over Rohr's conduct, especially the fact that he recently has granted some interviews that haven't really gone well with them. But more than anything else as well, it's just the whole situation of trying to see to what extent they can impose a bit of their will on the team. You know, recently they took out Imama Amapakabo, who was one of the assistant coaches, and appointed Joseph Yobo, who for most people they do not think he's right for the job, because he hasn't had a lot of coaching experience, and some even say he doesn't have the right qualifications, but that seems to have been settled. But that also was a sign that there's actually something not right. And then recently the NFF president Amadou Binic has been on TV talking about his new contract, talking about clauses about his payments, and also there have been suggestions that they want to pay him in the local currency, which could be issues for more rank up. But as it is fans, a lot is going on behind the scenes between the lawyers of both parties and trying to come to terms with what they will find as an amicable settlement. But it does appear that both parties want to work together. But the question just has to be about who is going to accept what in the new clauses. But it's the optics don't look too good. But you know how football is such a big religion for Nigerians, and so everyone is talking about the new contract.
Some football analysts and administrators say Gernot Rohr does not deserve a new contract because he didn't do well. What's your reaction to this?
You know, I'm not a very big fan of Gernot Rohr, and I wasn't initially when he was appointed, but somehow I've got to say that on the strength of what he's done, you got to look at what the parameters are. I mean, he's qualified Nigeria for AFCON, which they failed to qualify for two editions before the last one in Egypt. Qualified Nigeria for the World Cup, and you know, could have gone as far as the second half, and this is where a second round, and this is where I think he fell short. But you know, one of the things that he's done is also brought in a lot of young players, really talented players. I think a lot of the players that he's brought in also a lot of players who were Nigerian born in Europe, and he's integrated them into the team. And he's also made Nigeria really competitive. They got as far as the semifinals of the AFCON, they won a bronze medal, which is not a bad achievement. The question then is, I don't think people actually expected him to win the World Cup. I think also people might think that if he qualified for the second round, that would be considered a much better achievement, seeing that that is how far Nigeria has gone in three previous editions of the tournament. So judging by his performance, I'll say, you know, I'll give him a pass mark, and I think that if they let him go all the way to the next AFCON and the next World Cup, then you have a much better chance of actually judging his overall performance. But say that I wouldn't consider him a failure.
What should be Rohr's focus in his new contract?
I think Rohr, you know, in terms of his new contract, if if he stretches all the way to the next World Cup, his focus should be on how to consolidate on you know, what he's done. I think he needs to experiment less. He needs to now look at his team, look at what positions he has in terms of where he needs to fit in. I mean, one area where they're really short is in terms of goalkeeping. I don't think they are we don't have very good goalkeepers. If he can work on those areas and fortify the defense, that team is filled up with so many talented players up front and a lot of really exciting young players. He then needs to get them to play a lot more games together and try and build the nucleus of his team around some of the more experienced players and give some players a chance. People have talked about the potential for him to get players from the Nigerian league. And I think, you know, he has nothing to lose. If he's going to spend time in Nigeria, which is one of the clauses they want to put in the contract, is for him to be able to also go to some games and look out. My reading of Nigerian football is the difference sometimes between some of the players playing in the league and some playing in Europe is just one made his way to Europe and the other one is still playing back home. He might be able to find one or two players, and funny enough, every time they get into the senior team, they end up being snapped up by European clubs. So this is something that he needs to look at. Consolidation, this new contract should be about consolidation, and it should be more than anything, there should be one that is geared towards going one better in the AFCON, trying to win it, and hopefully in the World Cup with a much more settled team, try and get as far as the quarterfinals. This is something that is doable if the NFF also keeps their own part of the deal and make sure that he's paid regularly and all of this rank goes out of the window.
How far can Nigeria go with General Raw?
The NFF needs to sit down with Raw. They need to ensure that every single thing that he needs, all the resources, all the agreements are in place. They need to make sure that the players are paid their allowances. They need to avoid all of these fractures and conflicts. If they get everything right, with the talent at their disposal, I think this thing can go very far.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya's Daniel Wanjiru has been provisionally suspended for alleged doping violations. Reuters reporter Libby Hogan has more details for us.
He won the London Marathon in 2017, but now Kenyan runner Daniel Wanjiru has been provisionally suspended for alleged doping. The Athletics Integrity Unit is the independent body that deals with doping, and on Tuesday, they said the charge had been issued against Wanjiru for, quote, use of a prohibited substance or method. Under anti-doping rules, the 27-year-old cannot participate in any competition until a hearing has taken place into the allegation. Wanjiru won the 2016 Amsterdam Marathon and has finished 8th and 11th in the past two London Marathons. Last year, three Kenyan athletes were given four-year bans. And former marathon world record holder Wilson Kipsang, another Kenyan, was suspended in January this year. He was barred for tampering with samples and for whereabouts failures. Athletes usually have to supply information regularly to officials about where they are. But Kipsang's management company denies the allegations involve the use of doping. Around 60 Kenyan athletes have been sanctioned for anti-doping rule violations in the past 5 years.
Thanks, Libby. That's Reuters reporter Libby Hogan.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. My Voice of America colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with news of the Argentine Agustin Pichot challenging British incumbent Bill Beaumont for World Rugby's top job. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Agustin Pichot has served as World Rugby vice chairman for the last 4 years, but his bid to become chairman comes at what he calls a critical time. On Tuesday, the former Argentina scrum half spoke from Buenos Aires and said he felt a sense of urgency to realign the sport due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The game already has had a crisis, not only the alignment of the calendar, but also, again, as I was saying, having an efficient management and how we were operating, listening to the players, listening to the private equity that was on the game. We were on a back foot up there as well. And I was trying to make things more dynamic, to have to the communications to be more fluid. And I couldn't. And then the World Cup came in the middle, and we didn't have any solution. We were drawing a strategic plan. Everything was a little bit slow. And then by then, in January, we decided with a lot of nations to just challenge the status quo. And because, as we thought, things were going to be under big pressure. And 2 months later, the coronavirus hits the world, and that makes us think, okay, now is the time.
The impact of COVID-19 has accelerated already existing financial issues in the sport. Several rugby unions have issued staff pay cuts. Rugby Australia has temporarily laid off 3/4 of its workforce. And in April, USA Rugby filed for bankruptcy. And as English rugby leaders brace for an even bigger financial hit, Pichot says it's time to grow the sport to a global scale and give smaller unions a bigger share of the revenues.
I want a global game. I want more straight investment. And this crisis will show that now we have to take care of emerging nations, but also from the established nations, as you know. So I think it's a great moment, it's a critical moment to start reshaping the game.
And Pichot believes a step forward in reshaping the sport is to consolidate games into a single rugby calendar.
On the international level, you start from the Rugby World Cup, as you know, every 4 years, and the same men's and women's, you have a Rugby World Cup. What you do in between, that's the key issue, bring meaningful test matches. If it's two championships linked into one, then it has to be that way. But it cannot be, Nick, it's just have friendlies with no meaning. It doesn't work. That's an old way of looking at things. It doesn't work. And I think, again, CBC that came into Six Nations can tell you the same thing. They want an organized calendar. If it's with Sunster included, much better, because at the end of the day, the income between the potential of those two hemispheres plus bringing new markets, it's not a rocket science. It's easy to know that it would be much more income.
Pichot is considered to be the more radical candidate because of his modernistic vision for the sport. And if he's elected, he would be the first chairman from outside Europe's Six Nations. And Pichot says he believes people are ready for change.
I think a lot of people, and I'm surprised how much support, how much people want change. Even the ones that probably are more conservative, and they want to see how change. The difference is they want to see, yes, we want change, but organized change. And that's a little bit of the feeling, because maybe they think, Gus wants a revolution. He's Latin, he's temperamental. And I don't see it that way. I just think change always have to be organized. I think change for the sake of doing change is quite empty. I think change has to come with a strategic view. And this is the difference. I want a global vision.
The election will be held by digital voting on April 26th, and the decision will be announced at a World Rugby Council meeting on May 12th. And that is all from me, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the April 15th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat.
African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.